You might like to open your Bible to the book of Jeremiah and chapter 32. And in our exercise, in our study of Jeremiah, we have come to chapter 32. And in the process, remember the Jeremiah is in prison, but out of prison because Nebuchadnezzar is overrunning the city, and so Jeremiah is technically out of prison in the sense that the king is no longer in power at this point, more or less. So, and Israel is going to go into captivity and be put aside until the Lord comes at the end of the tribulation. So Jerusalem, the Jew, the nation, is put aside at the bottom of the barrel, as it were. And the Gentile nations are on top. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and Israel has refused to be encouraged, has refused to pay attention to God's wonderful remedy to solve their terrible unbelief, but they don't want to do it. So therefore, as we just mentioned, Nebuchadnezzar. Now, in the process, chapter 31, 32, 33, God has told them of the wonderful, wonderful future that he has in mind. They just had no sense of that. And in the process, God also has forever his wonderful future. God is glorious. All that he does is glorious. The heavens declare the glory of God in a most wonderful way. Everything is wonderful. You would never know it if you were on planet Earth. Us humans, what's glorious? What's glorious about everything? God is. God makes everything glorious and wonderful. God does. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so Genesis flood, of course, never saw that. A Tower of Babel never saw that. The nations never saw that. Israel, for a brief moment or two, had opportunity to know that in the days of Solomon, etc., but not long-lasting, and not it wasn't working. So they, humans just didn't know God's wonderful plan. And us humans today, here we are, and here we are on planet Earth with all that's going on in the outworking of history. And here we are. Now God, we look out. What's so glorious? What's so glorious about it? It's what we know. The mountains are pretty and the sky is blue and all of that. But our sense of God. What about our sense of God? God is glorious. If you went all across planet Earth, how not very often would you find a people or a person that was exercised by God's glorious person? And all that God has in mind is glorious. It's because he is glorious and he has chosen to involve angels and humans in the expressing his wonderful glory. God is glorious. Hang on to that. Now, having said that, Jeremiah chapter 32, you remember, and God is glorious, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word become flesh and dwelt among us. He is full of glory and truth. That's what it is. The Lord Jesus Christ presents to us God in person to know his glory and honor in a wonderful way. So, having said that, in chapter 32, verse 39, the church represents the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what Israel is going to have that they don't have, verse 39, they're going to have one heart, a nation with one heart, one way, the Lord God is the only way. They're going to have one heart, one way, and that they may fear me forever. They're going to have a healthy, holy, happy fear of God forever. Hang on to that. For the good of them and of their children after them. And I will make, verse 40, an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. The church, the believers, us sitting here right now, here we are. And the believing heart has a wonderful, wonderful relationship to God. We're to be of one heart, whether we exercise it, whether we understand it, whether we want to do anything with it, that's something else. But we do have it. Otherwise, you're not saved. You can't be. If Christ comes in, he unites you with himself. To what measure you enjoy that, it's a whole other ballgame. Now, one heart. We have one way. We're showing the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So we're showing the heart, we're showing the way. And here's the fear. The fear. And the fear of me, verse 39, forever. Verse 40, my fear in their, I will put my fear in their hearts. God's fear, God's awesome, awesome person. To tremble, to feel awe, to have reverence, to highly esteem, a God-fearing and awesome, inspiring, stupendous fear. The God, now the reason I started out a little bit in the other way, we have no sense of God. God is awesome. He's everywhere at once. Everywhere and forever. Right now. That's God. He's everywhere at once. There's no place that he isn't. In forever. With the zillions of galaxies, a finite expression of his infinite person. He knows everything. He knows everything. So he knows. He knows everything. And everything, we don't even know what everything is. He knows everything. About anything. About everything. He knows everything. And he has the power, the capacity, the omnipotence, to do whatever has to be done in any way, shape, or form. Moving a star, whatever. Creating, nothing. We're in the presence of God. We are not aware. I think it's safe to say we're not aware of the marvelousness in whose presence we sit. We need to have a fear, a healthy fear of his awesomeness. God needs to be, wants to be appreciated, appreciated for who he is. Not who we think he is, this big. He's awesome. His awesome person. That's what's missing. A fear of God. What do you mean? To begin to appreciate his magnificence. That's awesome. Reverence. Holy. People don't have a fear of God. Very much. They don't do it. Now, having said that, and we represent that fear. Now let's put it together a little bit. Or if I can, reminding you, if necessary, over to Deuteronomy again. And in Deuteronomy, if I can, in chapter 28, a key statement in the light of the cursings to the children of Israel if they don't honor God. And I know you read this and know it, but I'm going to do it again. Chapter 28, verse 58. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, purpose that thou mayest fear. Fear what? Fear who? This glorious and fearful, there's the same word repeated, awesome, stupendous. And that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord Jehovah Yahweh, thy God Elohim, God in his magnificent person. Now, if you got that a little bit, that's what's missing. And if you give it a thought or two, you'll understand why it's so wonderful. If I look at a builder doing something, you could do something. But if I could see someone sweeping, putting out in space, Genesis chapter 1, out in space with the sweep of his hand, all of the galaxies. That's awesome. I think of Job 38. Were you there when I did all this? Said to Job. Were you there when I did all this? It's awesome. That's right. God is awesome. Now, he's awesome. And he wants to be appreciated for his awesomeness. Chapter 31. Verse 12. Gather the people together. 31:12. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gates, everyone be involved, that purpose they may hear, and underline in your mind, that they may learn and fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of this law. They need to learn. We shared it the other day, you've shared it over the years. You need to learn to love. You need to learn to fear. It isn't natural. You'll learn it. Now, thus verse 13. And that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as you live in the land whither you go over Jordan to possess it, and learn to fear the Lord your God. And the most wonderful, you have to learn it. We have to come to grips with it. And that's what God's telling Israel. God gave us, you remember when God on Mount Sinai, when he introduced himself to Moses, he did in the burning bush, to the nation, he did so on a burning mountain, burning bush, burning mountain. He introduced himself. And they all were afraid when they heard him. They would be. They're awed. They have a fear. Fear. It'd be like sitting, if you and I had a situation where in the forest or somewhere, and the fire was burning. And the fire was burning and surrounding the house and starting into the house. you and I would have a fear, a healthy respect for fire. And boy, would we be a little bit on the ball, perhaps, because the fire is there. So Israel is introduced to God now, and they need to learn to fear him. So therefore, now God, that's what they're to learn. You remember we looked at Job, and in Job we read, and we did all that somewhere yesterday or so, and we did that. And Job eschewed, he hated evil, and he feared God. And it's repeated. God said, he fears me. Now, God, here's all the other people, but you aren't doing anything with them. No, they don't fear me. They don't fear me. That doesn't mean there aren't others, but the majority don't fear him. Job fears me. And the God, the man, you remember Psalm 25 and that, I will teach. I want you to learn. I am going to instruct each one personally. That's how God, who knows everything, is everywhere at once, is very personal. Very personal. He knows when one little bird falls to the ground. Of all the birds in the world, he knows when a little bird falls to the ground. Of all the hair on people's heads, he knows every hair that falls off your head all at once. What a pile of hairs. All at once. God's awesome. Fear him. Respect his magnificent mercy. His mercy and his grandeur. Wow. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so Job is able to be taught. He's a man that fears God. Now, Job can be taught. But that's true. Job's a believer. What about an unbeliever? Over to Corinthians. Acts chapter 10. Let me read Corinthians. Acts chapter 10. Now, Job is a man that fears God, and God teaches him. He fears him. God will teach in the way that he will choose us, Psalm 25, those that fear him. That's what he's going to do. So here's Acts chapter 10. Remember, Cornelius, a Gentile. Verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. He was a military man belonging to the troop of the Italians. Now, what do we know? Verse 2, a devout man, one that feared, there's your little word, feared God with all his house, and gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He was a Gentile. He's so influenced. His servants, his maids, his family, they were all conscious of God from one unsaved man. Because he feared God. He had a healthy, holy, happy sense of God. But he wasn't saved. But he feared God. God finds the man, the woman, the boy, the girl that fears him. And God will teach him in the way that he will choose. God will teach him the fear of God, of the magnificence of God. Now, having said, and you can read on in Cornelius, of course. Now, having said that, so God, we're to have a fear of, you remember, without turning there in Revelation 14 and that, what is the angel going to say to the whole world in the tribulation, one of those events? He's going to go, and everyone that's on planet Earth is what? You're going to hear his message. Fear God. Fear God. The beginning of knowledge and wisdom. Fear God. That's the thing to do. And fear God, you'll begin to get saved. It isn't about us, it's about God. This isn't about what we want to be and have and look and do. No, it's about God's awesome person, a fear, a healthy reverence for God. Now, Psalm 130. And I'm going to add where we were last time, whenever. Chapter 30, 130. Sliding down in the light of the context, verse 3. If thou, Lord, shouldst mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? No one. If you're going to go by our sin nature, we got a sin nature 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you're going to mark our sin, we're stuck, aren't we? We have no out. We got one big pile of sin. And God said, God, if you're going to mark our iniquities, we're done. Verse 4. But there is forgiveness with thee. Why? Why do you want to save us and forgive us? Have us forgive us? That thou mayest be feared. That you'll fear me. It's required. I want everyone to fear me, to respect me. I don't want people to say, I like him, I don't like him, he's good, he's gooder, gooder, he's better, better, he's more and more, all the different levels. There can't be 15 different levels. You need to appreciate the one and only person of God in all his magnificence, and we're all looking at the same God. I'm going to do so in the same way. That's true in hell, too. I'm going to look to God. Wow. To fear him. Now, there is forgiveness. Why? So that we can fear him and honor him. Psalm 85. And in Psalm 85, picking up, please. And you'll know it. Remember what we just read. Okay, Psalm 85. You're in Psalm 85. Up in for sliding down. Go over with me, please, in the light of that. Verse 7, 85, 7. Show me thy mercy, O Lord, and grant me thy salvation. Now, Psalm 86. In the light of God, knowing and seeing God's wonderful saving grace, here's David again, probably with Absalom rebellion. Psalm 86, and may I pick up again what we read in verse 7. Verse 85, show me thy mercy, O Lord. Verse 86:3. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good. And ready to, what's the word we just read in Psalm 130? Without forgiveness, how are we going to fear thee? Verse 5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. So, having said that, so then we come in verse, sliding down in the light of time. Verse 9, all nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great, and thou doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way. Causative, teach me, a command. Cause me, point out to me. Cause me, the word to shine out like light in order to see, to show me. Teach me. Teach me. Teach me thy way, O Lord. In verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. God, I will walk. I'm going to walk. I can't walk in thy truth if you don't teach me. I want to walk in thy truth. And in the process, and the truth will set me free. And unto the truth. Now, God, I'm going to walk with you. I want you to teach me thy way. Remember, Jeremiah 32, 39. I'm going to give them one way, one heart, one way. Teach me thy way. I want to know. I don't want to wait for the millennium. I don't want to wait. I want to, God, I want it now. Well, you can provide it. Verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart, cause my heart to unite, to come together, to be bound together in a most wonderful way. Teach me, O Lord, and I will walk in thy way. And in the process, cause my heart to unite, to join together, to bring together, to make into a oneness. Nothing between, a unique oneness. Make my heart to have a unique oneness with you, God. Oneness. That's what I want to have. What do we read, and what's the future going to be for Israel? I'm going to take my fear and put it in their heart. My fear in their heart. So they're all having and sharing a wonderful sense of who I am. That's what I want them to have. A wonderful sense of who I am, said God. Now, unite my heart with your heart, God. That's why David's so great. What made David great? Psalm, 1 Samuel 13, 14. David had a heart for God. He had a heart for God. God found a man who had a heart for him. God, I want to know you for who you are, not who I think you are, not who I want you to be, not who I'd like you to be. I want to know you for who you are. That's what I want to know, God. That's the excitement, to know for who you are. That's with the whole life, traveling down the road, right? To move, God, is a journey into the heart of God. To know God, his heart. Unite my heart. Unite my heart. In verse 11. To what? To fear thy name. Why do you want to know him? To fear his name. That's why. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear. We don't have fear, not you guys, but the general world in which we live, the religious world has no fear. Oh, they fear Allah, fate, chance, but no. No, unite my heart to fear thy name, God. Join together my heart. Bring my heart into the place. Quell all the insurrections of my heart. Quiet my heart as all its imperfections, my God, holding it right. Hold my heart right to keep it right, God. You got to hold it strong. I need to be strong. I need to be strong, God, so that what? I can glorify you. I can glorify. I can't glorify you if I don't understand you. And the more I understand you, the more excited I am about your person. And the more I'm thrilled with your person, the less I'm afraid of anything. And you remember, we're ahead of jumping ahead. Thou shalt not fear man. Do not fear man. Fear me. And when you fear me, and remember the illustration of all those things, you have the big, you get the big, not the big, I hate to give you the same illustration, but if you had a great big, well, that won't work good. I got to give you the old illustration, the real one. When my son, you know, all that, you can give it to me. And in the process, there outside the door, right, when we used to live right next door there. And in the process, Steve and my son was a little kid, and in the process, the big dog was out there when this was all nothing, and came up out of the driveway where the driveway is, and in the process, they came up. Oh, yeah, they came up, and I looked at the dog, and it didn't look like he was going to attack us. Anyway, and little Stephen went and got between my legs and held the pants and stuck his head out and pointed his finger at the dog. "You can't get me." See, that's the kind of thing. "I'm hiding. I'm hiding in my daddy," you see? God, that's where we're hiding. We're hiding. There's no big grizzly bear. No matter how big the grizzly bear is, when you look at God, what's a grizzly bear? David would say it when he looked at Goliath, 9.5 feet tall or whatever he was, that big, not as big. And the whole world's there. And all David got is a sling and a stone. That's all they got, little slings on the stone. "You know you're awful big, Goliath." Wow. And the whole Israel army refuses to go against you. All of them, even King Saul, who's a big man. He won't go against you. But, Mr. Goliath, you're not bigger than my God. And you don't defy my God. Therefore, you have come up against an opponent, Mr. Goliath, that you cannot defeat. And he threw the stone and killed him. Wow. Wow. He feared God. He feared God. Unite my heart to fear God in a most wonderful, wonderful way. In the light of all the perfections, why am I going to fear? Because that's the only way I can enjoy God's wonderful, wonderful person in a most wonderful, wonderful way. So, having said that and keeping that in mind, and may I go now in the light of that. Where we did, remember what we did in Psalm 85, verse 7. "Show me thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation." Sliding down to verse 3, "Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily." And now go to verse 13. "For great is thy mercy toward me, that thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell." God, you rescued me. There, you betcha. And verse 15. "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and in truth." Verse 16, "O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant and save the son of thy handmaid." Wow. Mercy, 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 mercy. Remember we shared it, you know it all. Mercy. For think of the word mercy, opposite, miserable. Mercy covers your miserable estate. God be merciful. Wow. And so here we are looking in God's wonderful, wonderful grace. God is going to go and have a healthy fear of God, a wonderful fear of God. That's what we want to have. And so as we look to God and thank him for all that he does, then we're going to go to verse 17 of Psalm 86. "Show me a token, a sign for good, that they which hate me may see us it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hath helped me, helped me, and comforted me." God, you came to comfort and help me. God, show them. I'm looking to you, God. God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to have a healthy fear of you. I'm going to learn to look to you with all my heart because you are God, the Lord God. Fear him, his fearful name, the Lord thy God. God. you're something else. Wow. To fear his name, a token, a sign that they see me. And in tying it together, oh, if I can, oh, to Psalm 40, picking up if I may. Show me a token, God, for good. What are you asking for? What then they say, without doing all the time for that, what were they saying? Where is your God? Remember that? Where is your God? Not your church, not your religion. Where is your God? We have no problem with religion. You can have religion as much as you want. You can have whatever you want. Don't be having a personal sense of God. That is unacceptable. Therefore, show me thy God. And here is the Psalm David, picking up Psalm 40, if I can, verse 3. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. What are they going to do? God's going to do a wonderful thing for me. I'm going to trust him. God, show me a token of good so that they can see I'm trusting you, the living and only God like David trusted. So we're trusting. Verse 4. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward in our direction. They cannot be reckoned up in order. Your thoughts to us outnumber the sand of the sea. Impossible. No, it isn't. Unto thee, if I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Wow. Another to tie it. Psalm right next door, Psalm 42. What are you going to say? And you'll pick it up if I can. Verse 3. My tears have been my meat, my food, day and night. I've had sorrow and suffering and sadness. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? That's what people want to know. They don't care what church you go to. It's your God. How much do you know God? Say, well, I'm religious and I'm a deacon, I'm a this and that. No, I want to know if you know God. That's what I'm looking for, and I see that when I know that. There's a difference between that being out there and being involved in religion or whatever. It's another thing to know God. To know God. Yeah. Where is thy God? And the answer, verse 5, you know it already. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? You have no reason to fear, no reason to worry. Casting all our fear before him and fearing him only. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted, divided in my mind, worrying, wanting, wondering? Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him for the help, the healing of his countenance, of his word countenance, face, remember. And you know it, verse 10. As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is their God? Where is thy God? Verse 11. Again, the psalmist cries out, only this time he sees God's face. This time, verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted, divided in my mind, within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health, the same as the word down in help in verse 5. But in verse 11, health. He is the health, the help of my. Verse 5, God's face. Verse 11, my face, my countenance, and my God. God gave me David. That's why David threw the stone. And David had no qualms of whether he would hit the target. He didn't have to worry about it. He didn't even have to hit the target. All he had to do is stand there, and he would have won. Go, God, what are we going to do? I want you to learn to fear me. Without fear, it's impossible to honor me. And in heaven, you're going to have forever to learn to honor me. Forever, you will have to learn to honor me. Forever. And you'll never get bored. Ever. An adventure into the heart of God. Not many even think about these things. They don't even care. But God, we want to learn to fear you. We want to learn to trust you and let you be more and more our great God. And when we look up, God, we can't see you, can't touch you, can't smell you. We can't even come to grips except by faith. And he that cometh to God must believe that he is. For without faith, it's impossible to please you, God. God, you are who you are. Do you know how many believers don't even understand God? If you tested them, they have no idea what God is like or what he can do or can't do or why he does what he does. They have no idea. How are they going to fear God? They're stupid. Not that. They don't know a lot. They don't know. The fear of God, man, you don't play around. That's what God wants.